I would encourage you to come out to Worship Fest. It's a wonderful time, and we are seeking in this church to just grow deeper in our worship and to be able to honor God in all that we do. And one of the key aspects of growing in Christ, obviously, is to be a worshipful church, and we seek to do that on a regular basis. So I had, as I said last week, I hadn't intended for this to be a series, but it seems like things are just growing in this way. And 3 weeks ago, I asked you to forget the condemnation of the past as to making you feel that you never could come to a deeper knowledge of Christ, but never to forget the lessons that you learned. So not to be condemned, but to learn the lesson and therefore grow in the things of Christ. And 2 weeks ago, we showed that having received that forgiveness of sin and the elimination of condemnation, that we had a fresh start, a new beginning, a clean slate to be able to go on in the things of the Lord. And last week, I desired to encourage you not only to be aware of listening for the Holy Spirit in your life as he is speaking to all of us, but to cultivate your spiritual healing and to hearing, rather, and to be obedient to his directives as you are maturing in the things of Christ. And today, I have entitled this, Be Filled, because the desire is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and maybe words like receive and to walk in the Spirit are some of the thoughts that I have been thinking. And there are four verses that or passages that I am looking at just to establish where I'm coming from, so to speak, as a preacher, Pentecostal preacher. I have these views on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Spirit, the walking in the Spirit, which are all related to, obviously, the Spirit's work in our life. So after Jesus has risen from the dead, by the way, if you're missing Sunday school, you're missing the foundational truth of the Christian faith, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Russell has been doing a wonderful job in the presentation of that. So I encourage you to be part of that. In John 20, after Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, he visits his disciples, and in one of the places where they're staying, not the upper room, that was afterwards, but they are gathered together. And in chapter 20, he speaks to them, and then in one point in 20:22, it said, and he breathed on them, and he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Some people, there are different theological stands and understandings of what exactly the coming of the Holy Spirit was and how that the Holy Spirit came. But as to my understanding and my learning in this, as far as John 20:22, that was the almost like this salvific statement of Christ to the disciples, that where they were infilled with the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. I don't believe it was predictive. I believe it was for that moment that he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. So I just established that thought. Then he went on to say, whomsoever sins you forgiven, they are forgiven. Whosoever you sins you retained or retained, meaning that he established the criteria by with which the church would forgive sins. The criteria by which your sins are forgiven is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so on the authority of that, I could say to a person, according to your profession of faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins are forgiven. I am, in essence, only affirming what Christ has already done on the cross of Calvary. So that is that verse in John. Then in Acts 2, we have the endowment of power. I would always call the endowment of power. In the day of Pentecost, it said when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered together in the upper room. And there were 120. There were the 12 disciples, Mary, and I guess now by that time, even the brother of Christ, James and Jude, maybe were there. But there were 120 in that upper room. And when the day had Pentecost had come, it said, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were seating. Wouldn't you like to have been there to have seen that happen? And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So obviously this was a, I wouldn't say another refilling of the initial filling that happened in John 20 for the disciples, but certainly the rest of the 120, this was their initial experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit at that time. And then I go to another scripture that I love so dearly in Acts chapter 4, and beginning in verse 29. It said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. This is after they had been taken before the Jewish council. And he said, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak forth the word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And then he said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So we have three different occasions where the disciples are said to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I can, if you can understand this, there is the initial filling of the Holy Spirit, there the endowment with power, and then there is the subsequent different times when you can be filled where it just wells up with inside you. And of course, I top this off with a scripture from Ephesians 5:18, which says, be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. So there can be not only an initial filling and not only an endowment with power, but regular fillings as you draw close to the things of God and would receive what he has for you. So with that criteria set up, I want to move into these thoughts of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't happen. Just because you've made a profession of faith, and just to, again, to set this record straight, the day that you truly believe in Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit within you. Amen? I want you to understand that, because some people say, well, no, you don't have the Holy Spirit in you until you've spoken in tongues or until you had some kind of a spiritual experience. No. It can be a very subtle thing, the receiving of the Holy Spirit at the moment you are born again, because it didn't look like in the room in John 20:22 that there was anything that the extraordinary happened. He breathed on them, said, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we don't see them becoming ecstatic or anything else. And many people here can attest to the fact that the day they received Jesus Christ, they may have just said, Lord, I believe in you. And they just knew that they had believed in Christ. And there was no, you know, bombs didn't go off and the lightning didn't strike or nothing extraordinary happened. So I'm saying that never be confused as to the coming of the Holy Spirit into a person's life when they are born again. So the fellowship with the Holy Spirit is something that should be a continuous endeavor and a pursuit and experience. And fellowship with the Holy Spirit is something that needs to be pursued. You just don't wake up and every day you say, oh, I'm experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans, present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. There needs to be a presentation of yourself to God so that he might work in your life and fill you with a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. The receiving, to me, of the Holy Spirit goes hand in glove or hand in hand, however you want to think of that, with the pursuit of sanctification, with the act of being separated unto God. A person that is not desiring to be separated unto God and to be separated from the world, I do not see how they can ever desire have the fullness of the Spirit coming upon you. It is a walk of holiness. It is a walk of desire to know Jesus Christ and what he's doing in their life. Many feel that they are pursuing the Holy Spirit. And I think that at times that many people aren't pursuing the Holy Spirit. They're pursuing an experience. And now I want to tell you what I feel from this. in the 70s. Anybody remember 1970? You are an old group. Because what I feel like the 70s was like yesterday. But Cassie, do you remember the 70s? Of course, she wasn't even born. I mean, but I remember the 70s as though it was yesterday. And there was a great move of the Holy Spirit in New York City in many of the churches when during the 70s. And I remember the Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings. And, of course, I went to a Pentecostal church, Rock Church. And the place was packed with people desiring to have a deeper relationship and a move of the Holy Spirit in their life. And but some people had a misconception to me in my mind as to what the proper procedure for praying for somebody or expecting the Holy Spirit was. And so sometimes there would be great lines of people coming up to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm just trying to say this to you, that sometimes people came up and got in line and said, oh, you want to receive the Holy Spirit? Amen. Boom, they get them, try and shake them into this and get them to pray and slap them around till they spoke in tongues or did whatever they had to do to them to make them feel like they, I say some of these people that went into that line were sincere, but some people were not counting what it really meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit or to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was like, oh, I think I'll get that too. They thought they were out for on a shopping cart to just load it up with stuff. It is not like that. It's a life that wants to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. That's what desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit entails. It's not just some takeout that you can line up and get. I don't believe that that is the way that the Holy Spirit is moving. I'm not to say that you can't go up with all sincerity of heart and receive Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a line. You can, but it's got to be your part. And I just feel like maybe the people that were pushing for that were pushing for more of an emotional experience rather than a true spiritual move of God. As I said, it's not an assembly line experience. The disciples hung out in an upper room for 10 days with 120 people in prayer. Now, to me, that shows a desire of the heart, doesn't it? Rather than walking up and say, oh, this guy talked about this day. I think I'd like to have some of that too. And they walk up with this vague concept of what they're really seeking. But a person that's seeking Jesus Christ knows, I want to love God with all my heart. I'm craving Christ and a deeper walk in him. And I will do whatever I need to do to walk in the holiness that he is demanding from me that I might receive the fullness of Christ in my heart, not some assembly line. You know, it's so strange. Russ pointed out that after the resurrection, the disciples were transformed. I say they were transformed in some respect, but you know when the disciples were really transformed the most? After the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because they were fearful after when Christ was in the grave. They all ran away. That's why we know that it wasn't them that participated in what they said, oh, they came and stole the body. They were too afraid to approach anybody, so they were hiding. Even in the upper room, I'm not quite sure, I don't want to accuse them of this, but they were in the upper room for 10 days, not doing much of anything outside. But when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, you couldn't keep their mouth shut. I love to see a new Christian, somebody that just received Christ. Once they've received Christ, there's no doubt that they love the Lord with all their heart. You can't keep their mouth shut. People that were shy are now vocal about how much they love the Lord and what he has done for them in their life. So I believe that it is not just a physical an experience. It's a spiritual transformation when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you receive that. I don't want to settle for a one-night experience. I want an ongoing touch of the Holy Ghost in my life daily. Daily, I want to move in that. So I compare the assembly line philosophy with a one-night stand mentally, and I compare this to salvation. That would be something like the seed that was planted on the rock. Some of these people get into an emotional experience, and it's like the seed that was planted on the rock. It grows and flourishes real quick. But in the time of adversity, it falls away. These people that have gone out for a one-night touch of the Holy Ghost, maybe they did. Maybe they do have something. But most of them just had entered in to what I felt was some kind of an emotional experience. And when the time came, when they were called upon by the Holy Spirit to go out and to live a holy life or to go out and be witnesses, it faded away. And they were like the seed that withered away on the rock, or those that were choked by the thorns. And it was not the experience that it should have happened, because once the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they kept desiring that fresh anointing, and they went out preaching the word of God in power. That is what it should be. Billy Graham Ministries said that after some great outreaches that they've had, and this is on a regular basis. You'll watch a Billy Graham crusade from years ago, and it's fun to turn on the television sometime. They show some of the old Billy Graham crusades. What a wonderful, powerful preacher he is, and certainly is moving in the Spirit of God. But I always loved Billy Graham. But thousands of people would come forth and give their life to Jesus Christ. And the Billy Graham Association did statistical follow-ups on these people that came forward. And a year after, very few of them could be found in fellowship. Do you know what it is? People get caught up in the moment sometime, and they make some kind of a profession of faith. But I think that sometimes that profession of faith, again, is like the seed on the rock. I believe when Christ comes into your life, he will transform your life. Does anybody believe that? I don't believe in vague professions of faith. I think I can have that. And it's been an enigma to me, and a frustration to me also, that sometimes we'll pray for a person and yes, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Oh yeah, okay, that's great. You know, go out, and then they don't come to church ever again. And they think, well, that was good enough. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have salvation. But I certainly wouldn't want to be them on the day when Christ returns and says, where have you been? I know the church doesn't save you. But if you think that you're going to flourish by yourself, sitting watching a television set of a TV evangelist, I think you're mistaken. I think you're going to be in here with people that smell. And you're going to be able to touch each other. And you're going to listen to each other. And sometimes you're going to be irritated with each other. It happens when iron is sharpening iron. There's sparks fly sometimes when iron is sharpening iron. And you've got to be in the fellowship. You've got to be with people. That's why, again, Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the fellowshipping of yourselves one with another. Because God wants you to be in the household of God. It's difficult. They used to say one log doesn't burn very brightly, but many logs together create a great fire. And that's what it is. That's why you need to be around those of like precious faith. That is why the church is important. Not that the church saves you. It is Jesus Christ that saves you, his blood. But how can a person that is saved by the blood of the Lamb want to keep Christ in themselves and never go out and share him and never fellowship with other people? No, you've got to be out there telling about the things of God. So when Billy Graham's Association made that statement, to me, it's the same thing of people that say, oh yes, I was filled with the Holy Spirit 85 years ago, and I've never done anything since. I mean, so what good is it? What good is the experience of coming to Christ or being filled with the Holy Spirit if you become some kind of a seed on the rock that withers and dies? God wants to move in your life, and he wants us to move with him. Is it because these people slipped away because God wasn't strong enough to hold them? Or people that said that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, did God give them some fake experience? I don't believe that at all. What I do believe is that we have a free will. And our free will is as we are listening to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, walk a holy life, or come to me in regular fellowship. And you say, I decide not to do that. I decide I don't want to live a holy life, and I decided I don't want to come in prayer and fellowship and reading the word. I decided not to do that. Then do not think, don't be so, have the audacity to think that you are going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ if you will not spend time with him. I hope I don't sound like one of those angry preachers. I'm not really angry. I just want to encourage you to receive all that God has for you. He has the blessing of salvation, the fullness of the Holy Spirit for you in this congregation and all those that will seek the truth of God. You know, unfortunately, things that are not real can look real. Sometimes the fake can look like the real thing. But there ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Remember that one? Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. That's your favorite song? Okay. All right. But I'm telling you, that's the same in Jesus Christ. There ain't nothing like the real thing of having Christ in your heart, of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want you to have. I want God with all my heart to be able to speak through me and to others in this congregation, to speak through you, that we might have the fullness of Christ in our life. People can laugh and shout and cry, and it can be all emotion, all just emotion, because they got caught up in the moment. And I'm always been nervous with an emotional outburst that is never followed by a transformed life. But some people have shouted and cried and laughed in the Holy Ghost, and it's been real, because they are wanting to live a life that is pleasing to God. We don't want to look like fakes in this church. We want to have the real thing. We want to have the real movement of the spiritual experience in Jesus Christ. The disciples were sold out for Christ. And I often ask myself, where am I in comparison to those men that were dedicated to Christ? I know you can't tell until the rubber meets the road where you are, but I know that in my heart I desire to be sold out for Christ in all I do. Believers in Acts desired to have Christ above all things. Imagine what a joy to know him and the power of his resurrection. Those people that desired Christ with all their heart, those were the candidates to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Those, you know, it's so funny, the 5,000 that were fed by Jesus Christ, they all fell away when it came to the crucifixion. And none of them were found around standing at the cross of Christ, but a few of the women. So these people were not desiring to be sold out for Christ. They were looking for a movement. They were looking for some kind of a high. I believe that the Holy Spirit filling comes to those whose lives are hungry for Christ in more and more of Jesus Christ in the life. I believe that is when you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. And when you desire with all your heart to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you might worship him and be sensitive to his voice, I believe that is when the Holy Spirit comes to you. We're not speaking about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is a different person than Jesus Christ. It is the same God. I explain the Trinitarian understanding. We believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we believe that they are three personalities, individuals, but they are still one God. Now, that's as best I can do with that one. If you can explain the Trinity any better than that, yeah. But nevertheless, it's me with a finite mind trying to explain an infinite reality. But I do know that the Holy Spirit is that one which testifies of Jesus Christ and shows the truth of his love. A couple things that makes me know that he is a person, the Holy Spirit. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We may have grieved our parents or grieved somebody that we love, but they are persons, but we do not want to grieve the person of the Holy Spirit. Also, it says that we are not to quench not the Holy Spirit or even the move of the Holy Spirit in another person's life. I didn't want to quench the Holy Spirit today in the thought that maybe God wants to bring the entire congregation up for prayer. So I said, okay, I'm going to stand back here. If this is what God wants to do, I want to do it. You know, I'm not the king here. I just want to be able to be the monitor and let you go the way that Christ is leading you and encourage you as you go on in the things of the Lord. I don't want to quench the move of the Holy Spirit. I do not want to despise prophesying, the Bible says. Do not despise that. But he's not Jesus. Jesus said, and when I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So it's the Holy Spirit is a person that is inside of the Christian. Imagine that. I will say another thing. Satan is constantly trying to imitate God. Somebody said, you know, about the Trinity. Well, Satan has his Trinity. It is the beast and the false prophet is the satanic trinity. And when we say we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, Satan wants to fill you too. He wants to fill you with the spirit of the world or the spirit of some demonic oppression or possession. But we want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Who wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost? That's what I want. I want to walk in the Spirit of God. I want to turn away from the things of the world. And the only way you'll do that is to have the Spirit of Christ, not the spirit of the world, which Satan is very desirous to give you, the spirit of evil. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then he says, quench not the spirit. That's what we are to do. We are to follow those things. Ephesians, I love this. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going through Ephesians 4, and I'll touch this. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's in Ephesians chapter 4. And it's such a beautiful thought that we do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. He is a person. And I just want to read this section of Acts 2. Now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart. These were the people that Peter preached to on the day of Pentecost. And so what it means, pricked in their heart, they were quickened with the thought, oh my, this applies to me. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's not only receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into you, but there is the constant overflowing of the Holy Spirit within you. And then he goes on to say, for this promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they were all glad to receive his word. They were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. 3,000 people came to Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost and received the Holy Spirit. Then he says, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. If the church is moving in the way that it should, we should see signs and wonders happening. We should see people fellowshipping together in love. We should be breaking bread together in a fellowship of love and devotion. That is what Christ so desires. So I've got just a few things, and I picked out 8 little thoughts here to give you and then we will close, and that should take me about 3 hours. So the first thought, and I mentioned this already, being filled with the Spirit will bring you to these things. Being filled with the Spirit, which you are to desire, I'm going to preface this, which you are to desire, there is a possibility of having regular fillings of the Spirit because, back to Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk. Can you imagine people thought that the apostles on the day of Pentecost were drunk? So a person can, as I said before, it can look like the fake, because sometimes you see people that are truly rejoicing in the Lord and raising their hands and maybe just falling down before. They said, man, that person's drunk. If somebody walked in, they think they were drunk. But no. They have received a touch of the Holy Ghost. And for those that truly receive the touch of the Holy Spirit, it's an exciting reality. And I was touched by the power of the Holy Spirit and have been throughout my Christian life. And I'm so happy for those times. It's a welling up inside, when the Holy Spirit just comes upon you. It's uncontainable. You have to do something. It just makes you want to leap up. But being filled with the Holy Spirit will manifest itself in this way. You will want to worship God. I guarantee that. You will want to worship him. Your heart will rise up with thanksgiving for who he is and all that he has done. And you won't be able to contain it. Oh, Lord, you just want to burst out because of the beauty of God and what he has done. Oh, the glory of his presence. We, your people, give you reverence. So that is what will happen. If you ever want to test yourself as you're growing in the Spirit of God and in the Holy Spirit, you can't keep from worshiping God. That's what we desire to do in this worship fest, to begin to worship God. It's an opportunity to worship God. And we have that on Sunday mornings where we come before him in song and praise and worship him for who he is. And I'm worshiping now with the word. I'm worshiping my Father, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I worship them, the Holy God Almighty. Hallelujah. You want to worship. You can't keep from it because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are one of those people that is filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what you want? You want more. This is the one time when you can be greedy. Want more of the Holy Spirit. You desire to have more of the Holy Spirit moving you, possessing you, consuming your heart and your life. And I read before Acts 4:29, but listen to this again. And now, the Lord, behold, their threatenings, grant unto thy servant with all boldness they may speak forth the word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I'm telling you, when you have the Holy Spirit, you will desire to have more, and you will get into prayer with that prayerful attitude that is seeking, oh God, have your way in my life. Nothing of me, but all of you. All glory to God. You know, I just desire in my life, in my family, in this church, for none of us to be self-seeking, but for us all to be seeking the truth of Jesus Christ. When that happens, when you are on that line, it puts pettiness aside and you begin to worship God, desire his filling more than anything else in your life. And you know, that is a blessing to everyone around you. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are not obnoxious. You are filled with the Holy Spirit and people just want to gravitate to that truth that you have found and share in the beauty and in the love of Jesus Christ. Those two things. You can't help but worship. You can't help but desire the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And something that has, when I came to, was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I really moved into a deeper things of God, do you know what I knew right away? That I was a child of God. The Holy Spirit gives you the knowledge mentally that you are a child of God. And also gives you the knowledge spiritually. The Bible said, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is into the mind of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. But we know that by our spirit that is within us. It is the Spirit of God that gives you the knowledge through as many as received him. It's all receiving him. To them gave he power to become the sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. You will worship him. You will want more of him. And you will have the understanding and the knowledge and the joy that you are children of the living God. The Bible says when you love the Lord, you're going to love his word. Eric has taught Wesley a bit of catechism and giving him a question. He said, so how has God revealed himself? This is a three-year-old responds back. He said, in the written word and in the incarnate word. This is Wesley said. He has no idea what incarnation is. Incarnation, in case maybe some of you are a little shaky on the word, means when Christ became a man. That means he was incarnate into human form. So that is the incarnate word. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you love the word. It is like honey. It is a lamp under your feet and a light under your path. The word of God is that which performs spiritual surgery on you, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and the intents of your heart. I love the law of God above all things, the old psalmist said. And so the love of the word of God bursts from you. You want the word. You crave the word. If you want to know that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't keep your hands off the word of God. You open up that word and you know who it's speaking to? You personally. You individually. You read it as though this is a love letter from God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit to you. You love the word. You love to worship. You love to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You love the fact that the knowledge of God, that you are a child of God, is in you. You love those things. And something that you will do besides love, you will hate. You will hate sin. You will hate the old man. You will hate those things that ever would come between you and God. You will have a perfect hatred of Satan, who is trying to deceive the world with sin and lust and deception. You will have hatred for those things that ever would become between you and your Savior. And you will shun them. But you will worship God. You will love the Word. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, much like hating sin, you will turn from the worldly pleasures to the godly joys. I'm not saying there's no pleasure in the world. There certainly is. But it is a dead-end street. It's like taking a viper. It's like taking that first drug. It may be fun for the first time, but I've seen people time and again be hooked on drugs, be hooked on alcohol, be hooked on sexual promiscuity. And it has only led to a dead-end road with them. But those that have taken on the joys of Jesus Christ and have found their pleasure in worshiping God, in fellowshipping with the saints, in the knowledge that they are children of the living God, there's no joy in the world or pleasure that could replace the knowledge that you are a child of the living God. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. It's laid out like a beautiful table decked with all manner of delectable beauties of God's spiritual fruit for you. Laid out there for you to have. When you have the fullness of your spirit, again, I said before, you can't keep your mouth shut because you begin to see people that have gone astray or people that do not know Christ. And the Bible said, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses because you are a lover of good men. You are a lover of people that are lost. And you will have the heart of Christ that goes out to seek and save that which is lost and bring them back or bring them to the fold. Bring them to Christ. You won't be able to keep from telling about the love of Christ when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, you know what they did? People say, oh, they were speaking in tongues. But you know what they were really doing? They were telling the glories of God Almighty. And they just happened to be using glossolalia to do it. They were telling about the beauties of God, the salvation of Jesus Christ. They were shouting forth from the housetops the love of God Almighty. Lastly, you pursue the things of God and the spiritual gifts that he has given you. And these giftedness, the gifts that he has given to the church, won't be so that you can exalt yourself and look, oh, I speak in tongues, or oh, I prophesy, or oh, I interpret, or oh, I lay hands on the sick, or oh, or anything about it will be all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord you shall win the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. If we will take these truths into our mind and desire the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives and pursue that, you will never, ever be the same. Your life from this day forward will never be the same. Some have laid aside the pursuit of the Holy Spirit and thought, well, he'll just catch up with me as I'm going about doing my thing. No, no, no. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek him while he may be found. God wants to give you his fullness. Imagine that. The creator of the universe wants to pour out the fullness of his presence into your life. May God bless you to receive all that he has for you, to prosper in the spiritual truths of Christ and of the Holy Spirit within you. I bless you this day with all that God has. In Christ's name, amen.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord,
Holy Spirit, you are well. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence,
what I Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now unto him that is able to keep you, to present you faultless before his presence, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore.